You have your Bible, I'd just like you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. We're going to be speaking about this chapter, the four leprous men, so we'll read the chapter. There's only 20 verses. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord in whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, you'll see it with your eyes, but not eat of it. And there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we'll die there. And if we sit here, we'll die. Now therefore let us come, and we'll go and fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll live. And if they'll kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the edge of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one tent, did eat and drink, and carried from there silver, gold, raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning, light, some mischief will come upon us now. Therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They came and called upon the porter of the city and said, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, and asses tied in the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told the king's household. And the king arose in the night and said, I will show you what the Syrians have done. They know we're hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field. When we come out of the city, we'll catch them alive and get into the city. One of his servants answered and said, Let some take five of the horses that remain or left in the city. Behold, they are all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as a multitude of the Israelites. They are consumed. Let us go and see. They took, therefore, two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them onto the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God said, who spoke when the king came down to him. It came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, Two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, Now, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, you'll see it with your eyes, but not eat of it. And it fell out unto him. The people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Very topical at this time right now with all that's going on in the Middle East, and particularly to do with Israel. And if you're watching the news at all, you see it's just full of the atrocities of man. Reinhold Niebuhr, years, centuries ago, coined the phrase, he said, Man's inhumanity to man makes democracy necessary. Man's humanity to man makes democracy possible. Well, we're seeing the inhumanity to man and the world events that are happening right now. But this is back in Bible times, and Syria was fighting with Israel, and the gate of Samaria, the whole city, the Syrians surrounded it and locked it off so that they couldn't buy or sell or get any food, and eventually they're starving. And Elisha was a man of God, and so he said, he got up and he said, tomorrow bread will be sold in the street. It'll be sold in the gate. And the assistant to the king laughed and said, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, then that might happen. Well, later on in the chapter we read, it happened, and it said, Elisha said to this man, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you won't taste of it. And it says the people trod upon him in the gate as they rushed to get food. If you follow the news, that's what's happening in Gaza right now. People will be starving, and there's all kinds of atrocities happening in the Middle East. We're going to talk about these four leprous men today, though, back in Bible times. And the three points would be simple. They were diseased, they were doomed, and then they were delivered. But I want to start with something that many of you here know my background. I have a doctorate in law, but I taught criminal law for quite a few years. And I'll tell you this, I always dealt with facts in the police business, then in the fuel business that we're in currently, in the farms. The fact business reigns supreme. Here's a statement for you that's a fact. This morning, what we say will contain information that demands a decision. That's the opening. The closing is simply this, information that determines your destination, because that's what the Bible teaches. They'll say you make a decision, and if your decision is negative to the cause of Jesus Christ and acceptance, then that will determine your destination. Your destination is one of two places, either heaven or separated from God for eternity in hell. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 12 has a verse that I enjoy. It simply says this in the King James Version, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. You see, that's a common thing in life. If you make good decisions, they can be rewarding. If you continue to make bad decisions, then you bear it. And the Bible taught that back a few thousand years ago, and it applies just as relevant today as it did back in that time. I've used this before, but people always say that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. My grandfather, who ran the farms at that time, used to say that's not true. Just keep putting salt in the oats of the horse. Create a thirst, he'll drink. And that's really what we are supposed to do as we are here. And the word of God, as we look at it, is create the thirst that you want to know more about it, that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior and go on to serve him with your life. And, you know, we have to be optimistic. Way back in school, we learned a poem, two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul. The other took the gloomy view. And so with a last despairing cry, he pulled up his legs and said goodbye. So the other frog with a merry grin, I can't get out, but I won't give in. Bravely he swam till it would seem his struggles began to turn to cream. On top of the butter, he finally stopped, and out of the bowl he happily hopped. The moral of the story, 'tis easy to be found. If you can't get out, keep swimming around. At least you got a chance in life if we stay as a competitor. But in this situation that we have here, these four leprous men, they're there. And back, if you were a leper back in Bible times, you had to stay without the gate. You weren't allowed in the city. You weren't allowed to be with family. And if anybody came near you, you had to shout out, unclean, unclean, so that they would not approach you. So you can imagine a family member being kept away. They can't come to your home. They can't come to family gatherings. They can't go to church with you. And they had to stay outside the gate and continually cry out unclean if anybody came near them. And so we said about they were diseased. Then the second part, they were doomed. Because if you suddenly today were encountered or had to encounter the fact that you couldn't have any contact with your family again, or your community, or your school, you'd soon feel ostracized and excluded. And so these four men together, they're outside the gate, they're calling unclean, unclean. The city of Samaria is encompassed. There's nothing to eat, And the four leprous men are there who said, we have a disease. We can't go in the city. We can't get food. We're going to die. They said, you know, we're diseased. We're doomed. Why don't we take a chance? We'll go out into the camp of the Syrians. Maybe they'll kill us, but we're going to die anyway. Let's go out and try it. And when they went out to the hosts of the Syrians, they found everything abandoned and all kinds of food there, food everywhere. So that's funny. So they went in one tent and they gathered things. They found animals tied and they come out. And then they made a very astounding statement. They say, today is a day of good tidings. We do not well, we hold our peace. And that would apply to each one of us. If we have the good tidings of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ for the sin in our life, we need to share it. We need to give an answer of the hope that is in us. And we talk about that and share with our families and try to get them to become interested in the fact that they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and become a Christian. And so they're diseased, they're doomed. So they go back and they say to the host, the porters over there, hey, there's food out there. And the assistant to the king said, whoa, if the Lord made windows in heaven, that could be possible. But there's no way otherwise. But one of the other people there said, why don't we go and check it out? We're starving. So they went out and found exactly as the four leper men told them. There was food there. So the people start charging out of the gate. And the man, he tried to stop them. And they just ran over him and he was killed. And so Elisha had told him, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you won't get to eat thereof. Why? Because you despise what God said. If we are not careful in our life, we can start telling God that he's wrong. We'll start saying, I'm going to do everything my own way. And that, of course, doesn't work for us. So there's a saying in business that, you know, success has many fathers. Failure is an orphan. No one wants to admit failure. There's many things have been written in the corporation I have. They have many slogans. One of them, another one is, the only time you find success before work is in a dictionary. And that's a fact. You want to find success in life, you have to work for it. And you see, it requires action. So if you want to have a relationship with the God of heaven through his son, Jesus Christ, it's real simple. You have to seek it out. The loving Father's there. He has a son that gave his life for you, and all you have to do is accept it, and he'll cleanse the sin in your life. But if you don't do it, the Lord says you're a creature of free choice. You don't want it? You don't want anything to do with it? That's up to you. But if you scorn, you're going to bear it. And so today we say here they were deceived, they were doomed, but they were delivered, which is the important thing for each one of us. We can be delivered from the impacts of sin. We can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. We can then become a child of God, and we have all the opportunity to live for him, to be in church, to live in a free country like we do, but to tell others about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But the leper's man said, today's a good day of good tidings. We do not well, we hold our peace. If God has given you the ability to share with others, or you have eternal life in your heart, tell people, tell them, tell your friends. And that's what I do with my life. We run business, of course. That's how we make a living. But at the same time, we spend time doing what I'm doing right now, sharing the word of God and trying to encourage people to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. These four leprous men, they got delivered. Why did they get delivered? They got delivered because they took advantage of what was there. And the opportunity you have right now, I said information that demands a decision. You see, each one of you make a decision here. If you don't, you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. When you walk out the door, you've either accepted him as Savior or you continue to reject him. Information that demands a decision. And information that determines your destination. Someday, where are you going to be for eternity? Where will you be? You'd be separated from God, or you can be with him in heaven. That's your choice. You know, somebody that's a comedian one day stood up and he said simply, I have a job and you have a job. It's my job to stand up here and talk and your job to sit there and listen. He said, but if you get done before I do, I'm sure you'll let me know. You know, people soon catch on, and sometimes for the 4 years that I particularly taught criminal law, sometimes criminal law can be boring. And some of the people are listening. If you looked around, you'd see them look at their watch and they yawn. After a while, you know what they're saying? This is boring. I want out of here. But if you wanted to do the job, you had to know the law. So they didn't have a choice. They had to listen. But you have a choice. You can accept what I'm talking about from the Word of God, or you can reject it. Your choice. But Billy Graham said one day, we make our choices, but then our choices make us. We choose our choices, but we can't choose the consequences. And I've seen people that, as some of you here know, I did spend 18 years in the Ontario Provincial Police, and we saw a lot of young men and women some days make very bad decisions. And there's a price to pay. Sometimes we'd see them in court. Sometimes we took them to jail. Why? Because of their own decisions they made, not other people making the decision for them. You see, we're responsible for our own actions. And in Romans, in the Bible, you know what God says? Every one of us shall give account of themselves to God. Very carefully, one quick thing from the law. May in the law is permissive. Shall is obligatory. And so when God talks about you giving account, would he use the word may or would he use the word shall? Every man and woman shall give account of who? Themselves. To who? To God. You see, anyone that tries to tell me they don't understand that concept is denying reality. God says, you're accountable. You're accountable for me. And you're not getting away from it. Because I'm God, and I'm demanding an answer. And so it's real simple that way. You see, when you try to go off on your own, back in the Old Testament, there's a man called Joshua, and he was a wonderful leader. But one day he got so confident, the little city of Ai, he said, I'm not even going to go up to war against them. Just send a few of the men. They'll look after that. But it wasn't God's will. And they ended up, 36 of them died, and they ran away. But then in chapter 8 of Joshua, you know how it starts out? Then Joshua said, I'm going to go, and I'll take all the men of war with me. I won't sit back here at home. No, it's a united effort. It's an effort that you must tell the truth. You must be prepared. And as we're talking with you today, I trust your heart is prepared to listen to what the God of heaven requests. And what's he say? I gave my son. Your decision. Do you accept him or do you not? If you reject him, then that's information that determines your destination. And so we have to make the proper decision. Everyone will or shall give account of themselves to God. There's a term I use a lot in our business. I call it confident expectation. And that is, if you do certain things, we expect certain results. Along with the fuel business, we run a large farming operation. And what do you have? You have confident expectation. The seed drill goes out in the spring of the year or the fall, depending what you're planting, and you put seed in the ground. And then you hope you get good weather. And then you look for a crop. But we have that confident expectation that it's going to work. And does it work every year? You know, we have all kinds of talk today about the climate. But remember this. If you want the best authority on the climate, go to God's Word. First book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. He says, I'll leave you in no doubt. Nobody says, as long as the earth remaineth. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night shall not cease. Who said that? God said it. So if anybody wants to say I'm superior to God and I'm going to tell him how things are going to be, I got a newsflash for you. It's not going to work. Because God says, as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high my thoughts are above your thoughts. In fact, my ways are past finding out. I will work, he says, and who can stop me? Nobody can. And so as we look about in our daily work, or you listen to the word of God and you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my own way. I'm going to find a way to heaven on my own. I'll make all my own decisions. In fact, I have a collection, I've told you this before, of all the old books back to the turn of the century that readers were taught in school. And one of them, you hear it, in fact, I heard it on the radio not long ago, one of the announcers thought he'd really found something. He talked about the fact about the young chick walking around telling the old hens and geese and turkeys. I felt like phoning him saying, that was in a school book in 1912, okay? I have a copy of it. It's, you know what it says? The little chick wandering around telling the turkeys how they should live, how the chickens should live, and how the geese should live. And finally, one of the old turkeys walks over to the little chick and he says, you yourself were just an eggshell just a few short days ago. And if kind wings had not warmed you, you would not be out today telling us old hens and geese and turkeys what to do and say. That was written way back in the early 1900s, and it still applies today. I still learned something new. I try to make sure I learned something new, a word or a fact. I try to learn something new every day of my life. And that's what you do. Like in school, if you look at the theory, you progress from the known to the unknown. And psychologists say in between that, when I studied psychology, they find out there's what we call the noise factor in the middle, the known to the unknown. The noise factor is all the things that interfere with your learning. But with the Bible, it's real simple. He says, you want eternal life? You have to trust my son. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's what God says. You see, if you try it on your own, it isn't going to work. But these four leprous men, they took a chance. They said, we're going to die anyway. Let's go. And they found all the bounty. And I would suggest to you, that's what's available to you. You trust Christ, and all the knowledge of the Bible is available to you. The church, the young people, the Sunday school, and all these enjoyment that we can have together is because of the word of Jesus Christ. They were diseased. They were doomed. But they were delivered. Where do you sit? Each one of us has to make a decision, as I said at the beginning. The two phrases, information that demands a decision, and information that determines your destination. The destination is one of two places. And all I want to say to you today is real simple. And that is that if you want eternal life, there's only one way. And that is the way that God demanded and commanded, set forth, gave his son. And that's the only way. For each one of you in your life, you have to make a decision what you want in your life. What do you want? You say, I want all good things in my life. Of course we do. Well, the main good thing you can have in your life is eternal life. The right partner you pick in life. The right job you pick. All of these things. Make a decision to follow Christ. We trust that will be the decision that you will make today. Each one of you, as you make that decision, make it for Christ. Because what you do in the interim won't matter. If you lose your position in Christ and you don't accept him as your Savior, that means that you will be eternally separated from him. And what did we start with? We sang, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. What's the word whosoever mean? You, me, and everyone else. I trust today that will be your decision, that you will accept the Lord as your Savior, and that you can say, I made the decision that affected my destination, and my destination will be heaven because of my association with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we could have the gentleman that opened, if you come and lead in our closing number, and Barb, if you could come and play in that. So, and Just sit quietly for a minute as they come, and then we'll stand and sing, and then I'll close in prayer. Okay? They have a hymn prepared, and we'll sing it together. We pray that each one of us who have made a decision in our life to serve you would go on to prove it day by day. And if there's anyone here, Lord, that has not accepted your Son as Savior, may today be a new beginning and the start of their Christian walk with the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Let's just be seated for a minute, and our pianist will play the chorus over again.